Hey there, this is Seth Juarez with Channel 9. I'm here with Sarah Itani, and we are talking about
Node.js tools for Visual Studio.
So what do you do? Do you make them, or how does it work?
Well, we actually have a bunch of little gnomes that are kind of sitting up.
All right.
Yeah, so we make them.
Do you make Node.js or just tooling around
it? Just the tooling around Node.js. So there's a whole community around Node.js, and also NPM, which mm-hmm. is a Node's package manager. And so we build on top of that.
So I get a little confused because there's like Node.js, there's like Bower, there's like Grunt, there's like all this JavaScript-y type thing. How does it all sort of fit together? Is Node.js like the grandfather of everything, or how does it work?
Right. So Node.js is a framework for writing applications using JavaScript.
Okay.
And you know, right now we're seeing it mostly on the server side, but it's also being applied to some IoT devices and stuff like that. And the reason is because it's really, really fast.
So you're talking about Node.js is on the server side?
Node.js,
because there's a lot of JavaScript happening on the client side everywhere as well. And so you can do both now.
Yes. So if you're in your browser, all of that JavaScript in your browser, that's executing on the client side. And then Node might be on that web server that you're actually pinging.
I see.
Sort of like ASP.NET.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so tell me, this is a common complaint I hear. JavaScript on the server, why would you want to do that?
I know, it's crazy. I was very skeptical at first.
Okay.
So JavaScript has definitely taken over the browser world. You can't go to any website without, you know, enabling JavaScript. For some reason,
right.
They just don't work. You go to blogs and they, oh, well, JavaScript isn't enabled, it's not going to work.
Right.
And so JavaScript has taken over the world by storm. Node.js allows it to come over to the server side.
Mm-hmm.
And what's neat about this is you have all these JavaScript developers mm-hmm. who are previously constrained to client-side code, and this opens up a whole new world for them. And similarly, you know, you'll have this influx of people from the server side who now, oh, well, if they're using Node.js on the server side, they can usually jump back and forth. And so you don't have this context switch that you previously had with web languages where, you know, when I was learning web development, I started off with HTML. It's like, okay, well, I know HTML now. Now I want to make my website pretty. It's like, okay, well, I'll learn some CSS.
Okay.
And now I want to make it do stuff. Okay, well, I'll learn some JavaScript. And now I need to make it save stuff. Oh, okay, and then I'll learn some database and
some
PHP
language,
And there's like, oh, and there's this thing called jQuery, which makes and so it was this constant just, oh, and there's this thing over here, and then there's this thing over here, and everything. And so it would be so much easier if everything didn't have to switch in between all of those different pieces.
Yeah, because there's so many like different ways of doing stuff on the server side. With Node.js, you can do JavaScript on the server side. Now, here's the question. My meter for knowing whether a technology is good or not is when someone can answer this question. When is a good time to use Node.js versus when is it a bad time to use Node.js?
Right. So Node.js, and this is actually one of the key features of Node.js and JavaScript really, is this asynchronous behavior.
Okay.
That means that when you send let's say you're calling someone and you're calling tech support.
Mm-hmm.
And you call them, you're kind of waiting on the line for them to get back to you with some answer to your question. That's a synchronous behavior, right? But let's say you can put the phone down and wait for them to actually call you back.
Right.
That would be asynchronous. And you can imagine when a web server is getting a ton of requests, you would want that asynchronous behavior on it. And so JavaScript is kind of built with this asynchrony in mind. Mm-hmm. Everyone uses it for web stuff. And so this kind of carries over to the server as well. And so everything you do in Node is asynchronous.
Okay.
It's non-blocking. And this is really cool if you want to go and say, oh, okay, well, I want to access this database, and maybe accessing this database is a long-running operation. It would be horrible if you can't handle requests
while that's
going on. And while in other frameworks you can actually, C# has async await, so what's the big deal? Because it's kind of built in with all the libraries and everything that people are building for it, you never have to worry, oh, okay, did someone say that this method could be in asynchronous? Does it actually work that way?
Okay.
Et cetera.
Well, that's cool. So I've heard, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that there's a type CPU sort of spin. And anytime there's an I/O call, it'll spin off and do that request. What if I have pure CPU bound type operations?
Right, and so for those cases, it's not as good.
Okay.
And the nice thing about Node is that you can actually interface with, a lot of people will actually use Java on the back end, use Python on the back end, of course.
Spin off CPU stuff.
Yeah. Okay. And so you can spin off all of that CPU stuff and then wait for it to come back in Node. And so they'll use Node as this kind of shim in between. And
got it.
Then when you actually get to, something like an IoT device, people are using it because, oh, well, it's really fast, it's low power, it won't take too much power.
Got it.
And it can keep pinging servers all the time. So it's exactly what you would need in that situation as well.
Well, cool. So Node is here to stay. And what are we doing at Microsoft to help?
Yeah.
What are we doing to help people write stuff in Node?
So one of the pain points with Node, if you go to any conferences, if you talk to any Node developers, is really with the tooling.
Okay.
Because JavaScript is a pretty,
it is a dynamic, look, she has touched a nerve, ladies and gentlemen. I like languages. Like, I'm not against dynamic languages, right? I love Python. R is also a dynamic language. There's tons of that. But JavaScript is a funny kind of language because, for example, with tooling, as a VS user, how do you control dot something on a dynamic language?
Yeah, it's hard. And most code completion software, like, for instance, in Visual Studio, for a lot of our client-side software before Node tools, it actually executes everything in order to provide code completion.
Yeah, it has to, right?
And that's sort of okay for client-side pieces, because the problem is that once you have 75 megabytes of JavaScript code, you could never have that on a browser.
Yeah,
you cannot
that's true.
Have someone load a page and wait for their browser to load that 75 megabytes, but you can have that on the server. And so if people are building these huge apps on the server
that
side.
That big, 75 megs?
There are some crazy packages
okay.
out there. And so they're building these huge packages, and of course JavaScript has like the most like crazy standards
right.
that are like every like you can do anything.
Yeah,
and, oh, okay. Well, that's not working. Well, I'm just going to add like a Band-Aid.
I'm
going to
add my own property because I can.
And so, it is so flexible. You know, building tooling for it actually becomes hard, and we can't actually execute every single thing in order to analyze your code. And so, with Node tools, we actually we started off with JSLS, which is the language service and the rest of Visual
right.
Studio. And we realized that's not going to scale
it's too
for
much,
this.
Yeah.
So we built our own analysis engine that will statically analyze your JavaScript code.
And holy cow, all of it or just part of it?
All of it. Your,
oh my
your
goodness.
Code, all of the packages that you're installing, all of the dependencies, everything.
So does that take a long time?
So it does take some time in the very beginning. It depends on how many packages that
okay.
you have. So, it could take anywhere from like 30 seconds to analyze
okay.
several packages to, 15, 20 minutes.
Let's just say a standard Express Node.js website. How long does it take to analyze all that?
Oh, that's pretty
easy.
Not even worth like me looking into that.
Okay.
And so we actually will take the top 100 NPM packages. NPM, for anyone who doesn't know, is the Node Package Manager. It's sort of like NuGet, except there are way more packages that are available.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 140,000 total packages in the registry
right
now. Yeah. And check out this number. Downloads in the last month.
Is that billion?
Yep.
All right.
That's
wow.
It's pretty impressive. And so it's experienced this, like, an NPM is, I guess, now they've rebranded themselves as the package manager for JavaScript.
But it's written on top of Node, right?
It's actually written on top of Node, and I mean, obviously JavaScript, you can use that
right
in Node as well. And so there's actually this cool package right here that allows you to use require, which is this way of including packages on the server side and using that on the client side. And so you can actually use NPM on the client side pretty easily.
All right, so tell us what you can do with the Node tools for Visual Studio.
Awesome. So if you want to go and download the tools, you can. We are actually official. We're on the Visual Studio homepage under Features, Node Tools. And you can download the Visual Studio Community
Edition. So the Community Edition is actually free, so then this whole thing you can do for free?
Yes.
That's amazing.
You can get the tools for free, and actually Node Tools for Visual Studio, or NTVS.
Oh, well, you even have an acronym.
It is an acronym.
That's amazing. So we're like official.
We're in the cool kids.
Nice,
book.
Okay.
That's totally free and open source as well. So two-step process, Visual Studio, download NTVS, and if you want to browse the source code, of course,
Source code for Node Tools is also open source.
Yes.
See, I thought you misspoke there, but you didn't. You can literally see how you build the tools.
Yes, you can actually
see my goodness.
Folders and all
now
of
that's,
that.
Now, that would be embarrassing if people could see my code.
You picked a really boring folder.
I know, sorry about that. That's amazing. And so, all right, so let's see what we can do in Visual Studio then.
All right.
Wait a minute. Wait. You even have videos. This is remarkable. I hadn't seen this before. So NTVS is free open, and then there's, what is the video? Shows you how to get started kind of thing?
It's actually a video from Alpha. We have a small team, and we haven't gotten to the point of recording all of our new videos.
Well, let's make a video right now.
Oh my gosh!
I know,
that's
right?
A brilliant idea!
Let's do it. All right, let's see something.
So let's switch over into Visual Studio.
Okay.
And here I already have NTVS running, and I created a new Express Azure project.
Okay.
And so I did that by going to File, New Project.
So here, let me stop you here for a second. Why would Microsoft do this Node tooling all for free? What's the reason, do you think?
I mean, there are a ton of developers that are using Node, and our new mantra is sort of going where the devs are, right?
Like, that's awesome.
And so we want to be able to support everyone who's using that. And, you know, maybe they'll get into Azure, too.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
You know what? If you like Node, use it. I mean, that's what I think.
So we have right here a whole bunch of project templates that make it easy to actually get started building a new app. Basic Node Express application. And this is, you know, very, you can think of it as a super lightweight ASP.NET.
Oh, cool.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
And then we also actually support TypeScript.
So you can do Node.js applications using TypeScript, if
yes.
That's something, okay.
And we have a whole bunch of templates to get you started doing that. And of course, you can always bring in a TypeScript file.
Awesome.
Whenever you want.
Cool.
And so we support so everything that I'm going to show is going to also apply to TypeScript as well.
Okay, cool. All right, let's see the goods.
And so we've created this new project. And first thing, of course, you do in Visual Studio is you run it.
Yep.
And I just switched versions of Node, so let me actually start that in case the debugger didn't. Oh, right, we have a debugger.
Oh, wait, what? How do you debug? Debuggers, man, are my favorite. I remember debugging like old school JavaScript and just putting alerts everywhere.
Well, you're that's what people use. It's all print line statements, right? And so, you know, this all started, and let me just exit out of this and restart. See, that's how you know.
So you can literally put breakpoints and it'll stop?
Yes.
That's awesome.
It's funny coming from like the Visual Studio world,
yeah,
where this is commonplace and
yeah, but it's not.
With you regular can hit a breakpoint and actually. I probably actually should have set the breakpoint before we.
Well, let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah. You don't. So let's set the breakpoint over in our routes over here. So
okay.
This is going to happen whenever you load the homepage, the about page, or the contact page. And again, this is all just comes for free when you use this template.
That's awesome.
And so we've set a breakpoint in the about page. So if we go and we hit the about page,
hey,
we hit our breakpoint. And so you can go through and you can actually view the call stack, navigate there. Same thing that you would be able to do in the rest of Visual Studio. You can go and view everything in the locals window. This is actually a pretty cool. No one knows about this feature for some reason. It's actually in Visual Studio in general. And so I kind of want to show it off here since it's so, it's not well known. You can actually drag things from the locals window to the launch window. Crazy, right?
I've been using Visual Studio for years, people. This is amazing.
So we discovered that one moment just like accidentally. We're like, awesome. Oh wow, no one knows about this.
That's awesome.
So that's a general Visual Studio feature, but.
All right, so the first part of the tooling is that we now have debugging on the server with Node.js.
We have debugging on, I'm sorry, I'm messing up with this window here. Can we?
Yeah, so now what you're saying is we have debugging on the server with the Node.js stuff.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And so right now, I mean, this is just a server that's running locally.
Right.
Port leet.
Right, of course. Of course. You had to do that, yeah.
Yeah. And we can go ahead and stop that, and we'll go back over here. The other cool thing I wanted to show you with debugging is we're going to set a breakpoint over here. So this is the beginning of your application.
Right.
And so it only runs once, so I had to restart it.
Uh-huh.
And as you can see, you know, we can't actually hit the page right now if you try and load it. You know, nothing's going to
happen. Right, it's not running.
And so right now it's at the point where it's setting the port, and this is where we set leet.
Got it.
And we can start stepping through, and let's actually go, and I don't really like the home page, so we're going to change that to being
the about
page instead. And we're going to F5, and we hit our about page.
So you can actually stop it and change it.
Edit and continue.
While it's editing.
Yep.
All right, I'm starting to like JavaScript a
so
little better.
So all this like debugging goodness that you previously wouldn't be able to do, and of course we have all that extra sugar with conditional breakpoints, hit counts, and when hit. So everyone who's still addicted to
the print line
statements, you still have them. You just don't have to litter your code with them.
That's awesome. I like that. So it's part of the tooling that takes care of that console.
It's all part of the tooling
kind
now.
Of thing.
And the other neat thing is no one realizes this is. Watch this, right? Just pay attention.
All right, I'm going.
You see that?
Yeah, you just edited the page and Visual Studio saw that it's different now, right?
Well, no.
The breakpoint moved. Holy cow.
It's for anyone who's actually using a text editor and then a separate debugger. And this is one of the nice things about
Wait a minute, is this something that happens with all stuff or is this just happening with JavaScript?
This all happens with all stuff.
Okay.
But it's one of the things that you get for free when you have a editor combined with a debugger.
That's way cool. I like I said, I'm learning every day, people.
That was the lamest demo ever.
I must be the lamest programmer ever. Whoa, it followed. That's awesome. All right, so what else you got? What other cool stuff? So we got debugging,
and then we talked about code completions,
right?
So I want to show you some of the function. Let's just start typing some things here, right? So function, multiply, and we're going to take in A and B, and we're going to return A times B.
Okay.
Perfect. And now, A and B, we don't really know what they are. That's an unknown type. B is also an unknown type. And multiply, we have no idea what it returns. So again, this
it's JavaScript.
Problem, with JavaScript. But now let's see. Okay, well, and they can be anything, and that's why we can't know what they are. So now let's multiply 1 and 2, and we'll hover over, and we'll see that A is a number.
Interesting.
B is a number. And so this is the analyzer going through, and it'll look through, how did you use that function? And we have a whole bunch of other patterns that we try and recognize.
So what if
as well.
I pass a string in, though, the next time? Is the compiler going to, there's no compiler, obviously, but is it going to complain?
Well, let's see. I don't know.
She doesn't know.
That's how smart this IntelliSense engine is.
Right.
So right now, it's going to return either a string or a number. Now, we can actually try and evaluate that in this other feature, which we have. It's the interactive window.
Oh, wow. That's like so F-sharpy, too.
It's a REPL.
That's cool.
F-sharp did not invent it.
I know.
And so we can enter in 1 and 2. And the cool thing about this is we actually get IntelliSense in the REPL as well.
Oh, my goodness.
So you get IntelliSense, you get syntax highlighting. So right now what we're doing under the covers is we're just running node.exe, but we add a little bit of extra VS magic. And so if you do this, we're going to get not another number. We actually have a bug on this, so I knew it was going to happen.
Okay. But it isn't.
It was a good segue into the interactive window.
That's cool. So there's code. So what's happening then, as the types are being used, they sort of get resolved in the background, so that you get code completion.
Yeah.
Like say that you have, they're not called anonymous types, but say you have like some JSON object that you sort of newed up. Is it going to know about the properties in there as well?
We can't guarantee every single.
Right.
There's, again, we discussed that there's so many people who are using JavaScript in all of these weird ways. And so we try and take into account whatever patterns we can analyze. And for the most part, we do a pretty good job.
So anything that technically can be analyzable, like you'll be able to do code completion on?
We'll be able to do it, or we are planning to.
It's
somewhere in the pipeline of, okay, well, if this happens to be a pattern that's people are starting to use a lot more, then we'll work it in there.
Got it. That's awesome.
And so I mentioned, you know, we talked about earlier how first it takes some time for the analyzer to run.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it's done running, so when that happens, I guess I can't really do it now, but when that, maybe, I don't know. Let's try npm install. So you can actually run npm commands from the
interactive
window as well.
While it's debugging, hopefully.
Maybe.
Let's see.
I don't know, but I was actually going to take this chance to show you the
UI. Have a package manager sort of UI built in as well.
And we actually, you download, so right now I downloaded the catalog about a week ago. It's reaching 80 megabytes at this point. It's insane.
Wow.
This is just NPM's growth, and they don't have they do not have an API yet. So we can install Azure, and actually I'm starting to I think we have a bug right now where it might pollute. I was hoping to, so we'll see.
These are fresh bits, my friends.
They are. Yeah, this is, so it finished npm install Azure, and I'm not entirely, so I think that the analyzer, I don't know if it's already finished analyzing. Oh, no, there we go. Node.js code analysis is up to date, analyzed 23,900 functions.
So you put a package
in 11 seconds.
So you put a package in, and it's like, I got something new to sort of analyze so that I can do code completion on it.
Yep, and so now we can actually go and say var Azure equals require Azure.
Nice.
And Azure dot, and you see blob service, you see all of
Holy
these.
Cow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And we test, to make sure that analysis completes for the top 100 NPM packages.
Okay.
So sometimes it doesn't, and like you might experience some CPU issues. And in those cases, you can disable analysis on that package.
Okay.
And let us know, and then we'll see what we can do to actually add it.
Well, that's really cool. Is there anything else that you want to show us?
Actually, there's a lot of cool stuff.
Oh my goodness.
So,
So what else you got?
So maybe you finished debugging your code. You might want to actually go through and profile it, right?
Okay.
You might have some performance issues
sure.
that you want to fix. And so we're integrated with the Visual Studio's profiler. And so if we go to Analyze here and we say Launch Node.js Profiling.
Wow.
And so it's going to open up this project. I can press Start. Frankly, this isn't the best app to actually profile and look through hot paths or anything with. But you can see how fast it is.
Yeah.
and so we can click around. And then once we are done profiling, we can stop. And, you know, you'll see, the CPU picked up over here, and these are, this is the hot path. We clicked on index a ton.
That's awesome. So you actually have profiling tools
to see, like, if you feel sluggish, you can actually see where it's happening.
You can view the call tree. You can view, again, this isn't the best application to actually show this off with.
Right.
But you have all sorts of different lenses that you can actually view this data from.
And oh my goodness.
The reporting tools that we have in Visual Studio combined with V8's profiling APIs, and this is the result. And
oh my goodness. So if you're having, like, say you have some CPU-bound call that's slowing things down, you'll be able to see what call it is that's causing the slowness.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. And so this you can only do on your local stuff, right, when you're debugging?
This you can only do in your local stuff, yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. All right, so what else you got?
And so once, you know, everything is working there, you probably want to add a few unit tests.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my sense is that with the dynamic language, like,
You need
more unit tests because your compiler's not catching stuff.
Exactly.
So now your unit tests have to.
And so one of the most popular frameworks in Node is Mocha. And we have support for Mocha as a test framework.
Interesting. And what kind of support do you have?
This is actually extensible, too. So I'm about to show you that.
Oh, let's see.
And so this is actually extensible. If you want to implement support for Jasmine, you would be able to write some JavaScript that all you would do is discover the tests and then run the test through Jasmine, and that's all it would take.
Interesting. So it's like, is it like a test runner or what is it?
Okay. And so this is Visual Studio's Text Explorer.
Nice.
Right now I have these two tests here, both in test suite one, test one and test two. This one is going to succeed, this one is going to fail.
Okay.
And we can go ahead and run all the tests. And this is, you know, right now we're in Visual Studio, we're in the Test Explorer, and
that's amazing.
That's it. And of course, debugging is available to you here as well.
Of course. It is, yeah.
And we can go and we should probably debug the test that's failing. I think that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Seems like a good idea. And so we'll go over here, we'll run the, debug the test.
There you go.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's a little different.
It's a little bit tough sometimes. Wait for, there we go.
Nice.
And you can step through and we'll see, oh, well, this is probably the line that it's going to fail on. It can actually go into the immediate window. We don't have a debug interactive window, but you'll get assertion error, this should fail.
Okay.
There. So you won't get IntelliSense or anything.
Got it.
But it's good for, you know, running
just
things
running
once in a while,
The best thing to do with failing tests is just delete them, right?
That's what I do.
It's okay.
We really care about quality at Microsoft.
That's right.
And you'll even see, okay, well, this test took 31 seconds to run. This one took 348 milliseconds. Mm-hmm. And this can also help you, you don't want your test suite taking forever. You want this to be really quick. And so you can see, oh, okay, well, maybe one of my tests is taking a little bit too long. How can I actually cut down on that time?
I see.
And your app is working. It's running super quickly.
You've tested it. You've profiled it.
You've failed your test.
That's right.
And of course, you want to publish.
Okay.
And so we have publishing built in and in multiple parts within VS. We actually don't recommend you use this publish command.
It's a little bit different with Node.js?
It is. The problem is we actually call MS build during that, and you'll run into a max path issue. So instead, we recommend using Git deploy. So I don't know if you knew this, but Azure actually has so this is the website, by the way, that we're going to be deploying to. I'm going to refresh. You'll see that it is not up yet.
Cool.
And let's see, NTVS. And we can go into configure. Dashboard. And we're going to set up deployment from source control.
Okay.
And we're going to use a local Git repository. So what this is going to do is it's going to create a repository for us to push to.
So this is like a remote from your local repository that you can push to.
Yep. And we're also going to add this to Git, sorry, to source control as well.
Okay.
So where is add solution to source control? We're going to select Git, press OK. And this gitignore file that it generated is pretty useless for Node, so we're just going to delete that. Head into Team Explorer. So everything has been added, and we're going to look at our changes so we can actually make this commit. And we're going to exclude Node modules because when you use Git deploy, Azure will actually take care of this, of NPM install for you.
Got it.
So we don't need to upload that. And so we're deploying to Azure websites right now. And just enter initial commit and commit everything. And yeah, save the changes. Cool. So it's been created locally, and we're going to sync, and this is the URL that I just copied over from Azure.
ABC123, right? Is that your password?
Yes.
That's my password.
Yeah. You messed me up because I'm
sorry.
And so now it's publishing, and for some reason it always gets caught up at 12 bytes. You know, the server's really
far. Yeah, the servers are really far.
All the way in Redmond.
Yeah, it's like right here. It's right.
And while that is...
oh, look, it is deploying.
So it is, yes, it is actually doing something. Mm-hmm. And so while we're waiting for that to complete, I'm just going to open up Server Explorer because we're going to get into that soon. And you can actually see Azure is in Server Explorer. And so right now, by the way, it's publishing and it's installing all of your NPM packages and everything like that. And... we can go into websites. We'll find our website.
Nice.
Yeah, just kind of killing time here. And we have NTVS, channel line.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And we can open, you can view the properties of that. Oh, wait. And let's view settings. Okay. And you can edit a bunch of the Azure settings right from Visual Studio without actually going anywhere.
So you can literally, from scratch, start a new website, Express website with Node. You can go run the package install, and it will load up that little window. You can pick all the packages you want to install. Then you can write your tests and run the test. And then once your app is built, you can find the slowness, right?
Yes.
By doing debugging, by doing all this other stuff. And then in the end, you can push it all to Azure.
You can push it all to Azure. And actually, you mentioned this one piece of it. We'll help you along the way with everything that you're doing. So right now, Azure is over here. If I were to go and we have this integration all throughout. If I were to go and remove Azure from dependencies, it's going to say, hey, you forgot to list this package.json, but you have it, you are actually using it. And so it will help catch a lot of those errors for you.
That's awesome.
So this actually finished publishing, and we can actually go here and we can view the active deployment. So now if we refresh this page, that's not good.
Oops, looks like something happened.
Yep. Let me go and check the code real quick.
Okay.
And you know, this port looks fine. That shouldn't do anything. I did edit some things over here.
Okay.
I forgot to comment out this line for remote debugging.
So there's a web config file for Node.js projects?
In order to run on IIS Node.
Oh, I got it. Okay, okay.
So you don't need this, obviously, if you're using something else.
Right.
But in this case, we're using IIS Node.
I see.
And going to show off a pretty cool feature that's available whether you're on Windows or Mac or Linux or anything like that. So let me just start redeploying this, and we can talk while it sends those 12 bytes up to Azure.
Nice.
Config file. Gotta love this TFS.
Yeah, I know, right? It's good stuff. So you're saying that, so the web config file is primarily how IIS interacts with Node, is that right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, and so what would we use it for?
What would you use it for?
Like in Node, like what are some things that you can do with Node and the web config that
you need to know? So if we open up web config, then you know you can have some app settings or something like that.
Makes sense. And you just access them through the Azure SDK part of the Node.js.
And you can say, okay, well, you know, I want to watch these files if they have any changes or anything like that. And in this case, when we're doing Git deploy, and this only really applies to Azure websites with Git deploy, then we can't. It doesn't actually do the web config transform for some reason. So we have this hack that you uncomment a few things in order to actually do that. And what that. So hopefully this has all gone up to Azure, and we can refresh the page. And
booyah! There it is.
It's up. And
hold on. Wait a minute. I saw something there that was interesting to me, but let me push this. What is this? This right here.
Well, yes, that is. I've been saying remote debugging. You just haven't been listening.
No,
to
I guess not. What do you mean?
like you can debug stuff while it's running on Azure?
Right, and so this is part of the reason I'm using Azure websites right now is that. With Azure websites, we have this extra little integration where you can right-click and select Attach Debugger. And that's what all these instructions for are, just to uncomment some code. And I had left a line commented when it shouldn't have been commented. And so you can right-click and choose Attach Debugger. And now we are attached. So in theory, we can set a breakpoint. Well, we have one set on about.
Right, on about.
And you can actually see where it's going. It's going to azurewebsites.net.
Got it.
We opened up a debug proxy port.
Interesting.
And if we go to the about page, we hit our breakpoint in Visual Studio.
So we're actually debugging the server Node.js Express website on Visual Studio.
Yes.
And so now we've come full circle. You make it, you test it, you break it, you profile it, you deploy it, and now if things go ski-wampus, that's a funny term, ski-wampus on the server, then you can actually debug it from the server on Visual Studio. That's amazing.
Exactly. And the cool thing about this is that it's not just available for Azure, it's not just available for Windows. This is cross-platform remote debugging. All it takes is, you know, a little script file to open up a port, and you're not going to get the same integration that you have in Server Explorer.
Right.
In that case, you would go to, I think, debug, and, well, we're attached right now, but attached to process.
Right.
And you would select Node.js remote debugging from here and enter
the server.
Yeah. And so you could actually be debugging Linux VM,
nice.
Remote Linux VM from Visual Studio on Windows.
This is fantastic. So let's see if I understood everything to recap. So the Node.js tools you can get for free with the community edition of Visual Studio. You can actually create new Express websites with Node.js.
Express really knew anything, right? We actually have a ad from existing, let's stop debugging now. We actually have an ad from existing project templates. So if you've created this project from outside of Visual Studio, which a lot of people do.
Oh, nice.
This is not something that you see in the rest of Visual Studio, right? Because C Sharp, everyone's using Visual Studio for. And so we added this extra template that lets you go through a wizard and say, okay, well, here are my files. And just recreate a project from any folder.
Nice. So that means like if you already have something or you want to create something new in Node.js, you can use Visual Studio to do that. You can run the test, you can debug, you can get code completion. Then you can push up to Azure and get debugging there and all the other goodness that you're used to. That's fantastic.
Everything is integrated. And it works well with, you know, all these third-party tools that people are using, right? NPM has those 140,000 packages, and there are some pretty good tools there. And so we don't want to restrict you. We want to provide you with this integration where it makes sense, but then let you, you know, jump into the command line whenever you want.
That's awesome. Well, what's the website where they can go again just to get started?
So you can actually go to the Visual Studio homepage now, and under features, there's Node.js tools.
Nice.
Or you can go straight to GitHub github.com/Microsoft/Node.js tools. And I wonder if we have an AKA site, aka.ms/explore-ntvs. We'll take you right.
Nice.
To, yeah, there we go.
Yes. Code completion, people. That's awesome. Well, this is fantastic. So thanks so much for spending some time with us, Sarah. Thanks for watching, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for having me. See ya.